Welcome to your doom.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
Őszolgabíró úr, jelentsérék a csárdában vannak.
Kicsodák?
Jelentsérék.
És ti hová mentek? Átak a kurva anyát!
Okay, hey, this is the Gaming Beast, and I'm back. Yes, it's definitely late. It should come out as it should be Sunday. It's Sunday the 15th, and it's not Thursday. But the reason why I had trouble with this, because at the time when I had time recording this, it was night, and I have people living here with me, and I have a child, and I didn't want it to be loud, but I didn't want it to hold back either, so I didn't want it to compromise, so that's why there wasn't a episode. Also, I've recently gotten a new job, so that also played in with that. So, and I didn't have too much to talk about, but I do have some tough stuff to talk about, because there has been Comic-Con going on, and different announcements from the big studios. But before I get into that, it's basically announcements from Marvel and DC. Also Movie Bob stuff again. And video game related news. But before I really get into that, I'm going to slap in a song. I'm going to do it the Critical Failure style. And yeah, 1, 2, 3, it's scope. Okay, this was Call Me Icebox, a little bit longer song, but I hope you liked it. I liked it. I found another site for chiptunes, chipmusic.org. This was on another site that was, it was really cool. It was set up like a Amiga OS, an old Amiga OS. I thought that was really cool. It had also chiptunes as a link, of course, Chiptunes, 8-Bit Collective as a link, of course. As you know, 8-Bit Collective is right now down. We don't know if it's going to come back or not, but if it does, we hope so. Anyway, let's get to talk about stuff, because talking about stuff is why you come here, too. So, about nerdy stuff. Oh, God. I'm just checking out DC on Comic-Con announced a couple of updates to Earth One, which is their attempt at doing an ultimate version of the DC Universe. And yeah, if you know anything about Superman Earth One, where they basically made a Twilight Superman, I'm like, no. Not interested. No, I don't need a Superman who is all emotional and emo and whatever. I don't need that. No. Also, the cover for their new Superman Earth One Volume 2. And okay, here's the comments on the comic. They have now comments from "A Modern Youthful Take on This Iconic Superhero, USA Today." "Aggressive! The Earth One line is introducing a number of DC's heroes to a new generation. The New York Times." I'm like, oh God. Oh my God. How did they make Superman? I mean, nah, it's... You know, you're some kind of villain. Oh, it's the first pages, I guess, without any text. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I don't know, maybe Batman Earth One is better, but it's just not for me, I guess. The new armor for Iron Man looks kind of weird. There's a lot of gold in it. I don't know, like, they're kind of combining what was the very first Iron Man suit. I don't know. I hope it's going to be good. I think so. Marvel has been doing good so far. Also, Marvel has announced, there was this movie that on one of their movie slots, it was like in April 2014, was unannounced, and everybody was speculating what it's going to be. Some people said it would be Black Panther. Some people said it would be Ant-Man. Now it's confirmed that it's Guardians of the Galaxy. And they're also making an Ant-Man movie, so they can put him into the next Avengers movie, which is cool. Guardians of the Galaxy is one of Marvel's old-school science fiction series. Don't be alarmed if you don't know them. I barely knew that they existed. I knew them a little bit. I think I read a little series, like two of a four issue chapter. You see, that's my problem with American comic books, is that it's always like all of their stories are always a chapter of a bigger story, and you have to, like, they want you to get the comics, you know. And the problem is, a lot of times I get into chapter two or three or something, and then it's like, oh yeah, because this and this happened in this chapter, and like, This is what's kind of bothering me. Like, in European comics, you get an album which contains a completed story, and it's like 30 to 60 pages of, even if it's a series, you know, it's a story, you know. Like Thorgal and stuff, there's an overarching story. Some elements of it are in there, but usually you have a completed story and some elements of an overarching story. Bone was a good example for this, how it was presented. I think it's more, in America you would call it the graphic novel. Instead, you put this in a different category. Or the trade paperbacks. Like, I love trade paperbacks when they take the different series, but they put them, the different chapters, but they put them in one chapter and sell them as one, like a book more. You know, where you, and that's cool. Because then I have a completed story in my hand. I enjoyed it, you know. Like, I remember they released, they have the Essentials line for Marvel, where they have essential stories for the character. And one of my biggest regrets is I have actually the first, they released Conan Essentials. Well, it wasn't Essentials, it was the complete, would have been the complete Conan library, where all the issues of the Conan the Barbarian series, which I think is about, I don't know, like 600 issues or something. Not 600, I'm kidding. Not kidding. It started in the 70s and then went to the 90s, so I'm guessing it's around 200, 300 issues, something like that. Went on for 30 years. Ended in 1995, I believe, or something like that. I had a lot of them as a kid. In Germany, they sold the Conan, and all the, there was this company called Condor, and they released all the Marvel comic books for a long time. Also later known as Conpart. They released other comics too, because it worked differently in Europe. You know, you had Marvel directly releasing in America, and I think they do it now in Europe too, but I'm not sure, because I know the DC comics are still released by Carlson. You see, American readers won't know what I'm talking about, but if you're German, then you know what I'm talking about. It's Carlson was releasing DC comic books since forever. But also, they released DC comic books, but you had also then Dino. There was a Dino, it was called Dino. There was a publishing company in the 90s when I was a kid. They started releasing comics, DC comics, and one of the first they released was Batman Adventures, which was based off the Batman the Animated Series, and I actually had the first 20 or 30 issues. I still have them. That's one of the comics I still have, and I love those because I love the series. You know, it had the same art style, the same characters, also the like Harley Quinn and stuff, and I love those, you know. And then they released also Superman, but the actual Superman comic, you know, not based on the series. They had also one based on the series for the cartoon series. But they had they had also a Superman animated cartoon, as you know, and they had also a comic based of that. But I didn't buy those because they had also Superman from it was right after the death of Superman. So that's something I knew about, The Death and Return, and I always wanted to read, but it wasn't released in Germany for a longer time. I think it was released by Carlson. I don't know how. It's kind of weird, because they had the rights for some. And I remember in the 70s and 80s, they released DC comic books, because I had a couple of those. As a little kid, we read those. I remember a story with the Justice League and the Keymaster, I believe, and some weird stories, you know, like Silver Age stories, and how weird they were at times. But I enjoyed those as a kid. Some of them I even found goofy then, but yeah. So yeah, they released that, and it was right after the death and return of Superman, so I was familiar with the story for the most part. And it's interesting because that's actually the most Superman I ever read. And I was always a big Superman fan as a little kid. And then it kind of like, I always liked the first movie. That was what introduced me to Superman. And then me and my brother, we did read Superman and Batman comics and DC comics as kids, as little kids. And we kind of moved on from that. And as I said, they released Marvel comics, Condor did. But we didn't see DC comics a lot anymore, you know. So it was kind of like, it's what was popular at the time and who got the rights and whatever, and really those were the ones we saw. And there was other comics still released, like what is it called, Clever and Smart, it was known. It was a funny comics, you would call it. So it was more like how you would call this, like a comic strip, but it was not a comic strip, it was actually stories, but it was like a cartoon style, like funny style. And it was really, it was these two agents. It was like the dorky versions of James Bond, but they were like really always having crazy adventures. And they're Spanish actually originally. They're called Mortadelo de y Filemón or something. I probably butchered that, but it's, if you're American, you don't know those. They're popular in Europe, especially in Germany and in Spain. I think they're still released in Germany. I'm not sure. You can still, everybody was reading that, Clever and Smart, and of course Asterix and Obelix, which Americans again don't really know. But yeah, Marvel was released by Condor for the longest time, since actually the 60s and 70s, I believe. And what we read a lot of Spider-Man, of course, and they were always sold, a lot of them were sold in these annuals. And there were these short annuals, which were like little books, you know, and they were called Taschenbücher, like pocket books or something, you know. And they're basically trade paperbacks, but in a smaller size too. Like they're about half the size of a regular American comic book, but they're thicker too. They're like usually full chapters, and I don't know why, but they were really popular, and I liked them because they had a full story always in multiple, and they weren't considered the annual comics. They were considered they were monthly, or like every 3 months you would have an annual, and those were the very thick ones, you know, like a big book, but they had a bunch of stories in it. I remember I always enjoyed those, and they were black usually. The color, the background color was black, because it was maybe one day if I'm gonna open up my suitcase with my comics, I'm going to show them off for you, because I had a lot of them from Conan too. I didn't have them all because I started collecting them from like issue what was it? I think 18 or 19, and they had a lot of different Conan comics in them. So we had Conan comics before that. And we had Spider-Man comics, and we also would read a little bit of Fantastic Four, and Hulk was very, we liked Hulk a lot. But I think and also X-Men, of course. But the cool thing was in these annuals, in order to fill them up, they would, if it would be like a Hulk annual or a Spider-Man, they would throw in an X-Men story by the end, or a, I remember they threw in a New Warriors comic in there, which I then enjoyed, you know, with Sunspot and Nova and those guys, and I really enjoyed that. And I remember one of my favorite stories was a story where it was, what was it? There was Spider-Man teaming up with Ghost Rider and Venom and another guy, and I think he was blind actually, with a flamethrower, which is kind of weird. You wouldn't want to give a blind guy a flamethrower. But I forgot what his name was. I think it was Johnny Blaze or something. I'm not sure. But he was a cool character, and they were fighting this. At first, it was Spider-Man fighting the Demon Goblin, or was it just, no? He was fighting the not the Green Goblin, but the other Goblin. You know, I forgot his name. I forgot his name. You know, the one, the mercenary guy who gets the equipment from Osborn. And he, in the storyline, he had his soul, his evil part removed, and that evil part became Demon Goblin. And he was also a prominent character in Maximum Carnage. He was like one of the guys that teamed up with Carnage and the two other villains. Like, I think it was the Doppelganger Spider-Man. Yeah, that's another storyline I did remember. I grew up with a lot of the Venom stories and the Carnage stories and stuff. We really liked those. But I remember also storyline when Harry Osborn died. And that was in a time when superheroes and supervillains, especially supervillains, when they died, they stayed dead. A lot of people say the death of Superman and then the return of Superman ruined comics forever because then comic book characters came back. And I would disagree. I think comic book characters came back before. But to be fair, for example, Flash, Barry Allen never came back. And Wally West, he's a lot of the few characters where the sidekick took over and the sidekick became the main guy, and that's how it stayed. Like, Wally West stayed the Flash. You know, he was Kid Flash, and then when Barry Allen died, he became the Flash, you know. And that was a nice passing the torch moment. And that's the only one that stuck. Because we had that happen with Spider-Man, with Captain America, also with Superman. But it never stayed that way, you know. Like a lot of people would say, Superman dies and Supergirl takes over, and I think, yeah, that's just pretty good. But of course, that didn't stick. And now, when superheroes die, they eventually come back, and especially big A-lister ones. And I'm like, the way how you could do it is since they're always, after a couple of years, rebooting a series, I would say if you kill off a character in a big epic fashion, and it's really cool, then leave the character dead until you reboot the universe. Because if you reboot the universe, that means that it's a completely new universe, so anything that happened in the previous one doesn't count anymore. So you can have characters come back, or even leave out characters if you want to. That would be the best solution, and that way it doesn't feel like a cop-out. One I was disappointed about was Captain America dying, but anyway, I'm again going off on a tangent. Guardians of the Galaxy, they released some concept art. They also released the titles of the movies the Marvel is going to be releasing. Guardians of the Galaxy is one, and the movie art looks actually pretty cool. Of course, it's changed somewhat. Like Rocket Raccoon, he's a little anthropomorphic raccoon with the big laser. And in today's day and era, they gotta be like saying, "Oh, you're trying to get the furries into the movie theater." Then I mean, that's not the case. When Rocket Raccoon was made, there wasn't such a thing as a furry, you know. At least not there was no name for it. They're making him look. They're making him look more alien-like. Like everybody looks more alien-like, and I think that's a good way to go. And probably his name is gonna be his alien name, and I guess Iron Man or like somebody who's more of the jokester will say, "Oh, this looks like a raccoon or something," and then that's gonna be the only time you're gonna hear that. So I think it's gonna work. It looks pretty cool. They want to make it as like their version of Star Wars, and they're gonna like team up with the Avengers to fight Thanos. And that's what's pretty much because I read up that there was a series like that. Since I have not read every Marvel or every DC comic, which there's thousands upon thousands of different comics and series, and yeah. But you also have then Captain America 2 released, which is obviously the official subtitle is The Winter Soldier, which sounds really cool, which means a little spoiler here. One of the series that I did started reading back in the day when I was still reading comics, and I'm reading and comics, but when I was at, you know, in America when I was reading them, that I remember one of the storylines I found interesting was Winter Soldier when they brought Bucky back, the sidekick of Captain America, who's kind of like he's I think he's kind of like he's very much like Robin in that way, but he's kind of Robin, and he was a sidekick before Robin, actually, and he had also the same eye vision. He's like the kid sidekick. I think Robin was he inspired Robin in a way, but really at this point, it really doesn't matter who inspired what. In how it is in the Marvel Universe now that they had, everybody thought Bucky died, and that was one of the big things for Captain America that he was sad about. And even they established that in the first movie now, that he was really upset that Bucky died and that he couldn't stop it. And anyway, he was upset that he couldn't stop it, and Bucky was actually found by the Russians, and Bucky was made into their own super soldier, which they called a Winter Soldier, because he aged somewhat to up to his adult age, because they released him a couple of times. They kept him frozen, and they only released him when he needed admissions. That's why he didn't age so much. Like in Thundercats, if you remember, this quote that Jaga said, I know, weird tangent again, but he said, when, you know, the Thundercats were frozen, but Lionel was frozen, but he still aged, it says, "Some aging still takes place." And I'm like, yeah. Because when they would actually travel from one galaxy to another, even with traveling faster than light, it would take thousands of years. So some aging still... It was a plot device to make Lionel an adult, but he's still mentally a kid. So he's kind of like Captain Marvel in that way. But anyway, back to Winter Soldier. He becomes kind of an assassin, their own, the Russian super soldier, and Captain America eventually fights him, but he gets him on the good side again. And that was around then Civil War happened, and then on the end Captain America died. If you didn't know that until now, it's your own problem. Civil War happened a couple of years ago. Captain America gets shot, and then Bucky, the Winter Soldier, becomes the new Captain America with a new outfit. Still looks like Captain America, but it's different. He also gets a gun. He's actually pretty cool. And I thought, please, Marvel, let Steve Rogers rest. We get it. But then they bring him back because they have plans of bringing a movie out. And I don't know how it's going to be in the cinematic universe if Captain America, Steve Rogers, will be killed and then Bucky will take over. That would be kind of cool, and if they would make it stick, that would be kind of cool. We'll see. So, the Winter Soldier. I wonder who's going to be the villain. Is it going to be Red Skull again? Is it going to be somebody else? We don't know. One thing about another movie that is going to be the next one, that is Iron Man 3. One of the elements I found interesting, also my good friend Toss79, who I'm giving a shout out here, a mini shout out, he said that he pointed me to one of the pictures where Iron Patriot is there, and in the comics, that's around after Civil War, and right at before what is it, the other event, which is where the Super Skrulls take over everybody. You have Iron Patriot, who creates the Dark Avengers or something, and like a lot of people say, oh, will Tony Stark battle a Spider-Man villain in... it's kind of... Iron Patriot is... He looked like Iron Man, but imagine if Iron Man had like a American-themed armor, and it basically Norman Osborn under that. There was a big tease that it's actually Captain America under that, but it's actually Norman Osborn, who they brought back from the dead, and I think that was one of the dumbest things Marvel did, because bringing back any one of the Osborns was stupid. And I know why they did it, because they tried different Green Goblins and it didn't work, and I said, just let the Green Goblin rest, you know. It was a great villain and everything in his time, but no, they had to bring him back. But now he is, he basically manipulated himself to become the Iron Patriot, to become a Iron Man villain, and I don't know the exact story, but basically it's Norman Osborn in a American-themed outfit, and then people were saying, oh, they're going to have Norman Osborn in Iron Man 3, and of course not, it's going to be somebody else, a different villain, and it's going to be a different Iron Man villain in that outfit. So my question is Iron Man going to fight again another dude in a robotic suit? A lot of people are disappointed because everybody wants the Mandarin. But I'm guessing they're trying to avoid the Mandarin. because of the somewhat racist undertones, the anti-Asian undertones that the Mandarin represents, even though the Mandarin is, I think he's an alien, with magic rings, which are actually high-tech rings, but they're more or less magic rings. And I really hope that they put in the Mandarin to some extent, even if he's just the unknown background character. I think it's going to be somebody else. But yeah. Some other villain, I don't know exactly which is... was it... I'm not sure. Anyway, I find that interesting. That they're kind of teasing people that, you know, it would be really cool to have Spider-Man in our universe, you know, and they're kind of telling to Sony, you know, we really would have... They probably, you know, talked that over with Sony, because obviously they couldn't have Norman Osborn in there, but they can have Iron Patriot, because Iron Patriot was in another series, so that somehow works then. Yeah, so also DC announced a new Man of Steel poster, like they have the new Man of Steel poster out, and there's going to be a teaser trailer when they show Dark Knight Rises, which I think is really cool, and I think it's very appropriate. The poster looks very dark and bleak, and I don't know either, like, again... Game Over Thinker, he's saying that he doesn't like it and whatever, and I can't really just say yes, he's right. I don't like it that much. Also, again, a very over-textured costume, but I don't know. I gotta wait and see for the trailer, and then I'm gonna judge. I'm not gonna judge a movie based on a poster, because they're gonna have a gazillion posters out there. Avengers had some goofy-looking posters, and that turned out to be an awesome movie, so... yeah. Man of Steel, got no clue. Could be good, but I'm just kind of disappointed that it's going to be again an origin movie, at least in part. This one is going to be different, because I guess Superman is not going to be as trusted by the world, and they're saying, oh, he's going to be kind of like the Hulk, that he's going to be first chased on and not trusted. And it's good, I guess, but the whole, like, I don't know, like, it's gonna be like the new 52 Superman, where you're like, oh, the Superman, he's evil and whatever, and is that really necessary? And then he's just gonna fight Zod, and I'm like, we had him. He's fought in Zod already. Can't he not fight something else? There's so many other villains out there. I personally would like to see Conduit, because I think Conduit is a very underrated villain, and that's one of my favorite villains, Kenny Braverman. And I'm not sure if he was in the Smallville series, but that was kind of a waste. But Smallville series was a waste in general and stupid, so let's just forget about that. And, yeah, I personally think, I mean, there's Metallo they could use, there's Brainiac, there's Parasite, I guess Bizarro would be a little bit much for the average moviegoer, but I personally would like to see Bizarro too, or maybe Solomon Grundy. That's the cool thing about Warner, they have the entire DC library. They can do every movie they just want to. You know, they could make a Justice League movie, which they will hopefully make now. They've been saying it again. They could make a Teen Titans movie. They could make any kind of crossover movie, World's Finest. It could be Green Lantern and Green Arrow. There's just no... Like, if Marvel would have that, you know you would have Spider-Man and the Avengers pop up, or even have a... You know, they could make even a Civil War movie. They could make, like, Avengers 3 could be, like, Avengers 3 Civil War. Right now, we can only dream of that because Fox is holding on to the X-Men franchise and the Fantastic Four franchise. And they're not going to give that up fast because they have announced they are rebooting Fantastic Four. And they're only doing that because they want to keep it. I'm going to keep the, and they have to make a movie every 5 years. Same thing with X-Men. Now they had the First Class, and like people liked it. And I'm not even saying it's a bad movie, but you know, Wolverine was a bad movie, and that was only made so they could keep it, and so on. And yeah, I said that before, so I'm not gonna again say it. Anyway, let's move on to other topics. Superman, Man of Steel could be good, whatever. Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy, I hope it's going to be good, and Marvel so far hasn't, like, brought a bad movie to the table, in my opinion. Marvel Studios, they love their characters, they know what the fans want. They only change it so much, they only modify it slightly, maybe. You know, like, Hawkeye's costume was changed somewhat to the ultimate version, and that's fine. That makes sense. If he's a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, you know, giving him a goofy costume might not be the smartest. That doesn't mean he will never have to cut that costume. You know, there might be a reason. But for Hawkeye, since he's a smaller character, it's not a big deal. Iron Man had his costume. Thor had a combination of his old school costume and the ultimate costume, meaning that it's basically the old school costume without the helmet, and that's fine. So I trust in Marvel Studios. My favorite costume is the Captain America costume because it's the best compromise. It's basically the Captain America costume. The only thing he doesn't have is the little wings, and honestly, the little wings, if they're just drawn on, that's just fine, because you know, he's a soldier and it's just not practical. And it looks just better. It just looks exactly like it, you know. Thor had also their title. And also they announced Ant-Man, which is cool. Although some people are worried that Ant-Man by himself wouldn't make a good movie. Maybe they just should put him in the Avengers. But Edgar Wright is going to direct it, and he did already some test footage. So I'm thinking Ant-Man, I guess, could work, but put in Wasp, you know, don't make him alone, because he's a dude who just grows big, and I know there's a lot of Ant-Man fans out there throwing rocks and old vegetables at me, but I know Ant-Man, or Giant Man, or Yellow Jacket, or whatever his freaking name is at this point, is like one of the core Avengers guys, but he really is one of those guys that is really known to be in the Avengers always. He's kind of like to the Justice League what Martian Manhunter is. He's always the guy who is in the Avengers, and he has a big role in that, but by himself he's not that well known. But I'm sure he had also a series. He went also through a couple of there's different Ant-Mans out there with different powers, but usually it's growing really big or growing really small. Growing really small, I mean shrinking. So that's Ant-Man. That's cool that they're doing it, and Guardians of the Galaxy. But I'm kind of like hoping that, why not Doctor Strange? Doctor Strange is more well known, and I'm sure they're going to make Doctor Strange, because they even teased the Eye of Agamotto in the first Thor movie, which is a sign that, yes, we're going to make it, but we don't know when yet. And it would be a good opportunity to extend the mystical element of the Marvel Universe, Cinematic Universe. With Guardians of the Galaxy, they're going to extend the science fiction element of the Marvel Universe, Cinematic Universe. But Thor 2's name is going to be Thor, the Dark World. And I'm excited for that. You know, that looks cool. The Dark World. You know, Thor is always cool, basically. But still, we could have Doctor Strange and also the other one, which, what was it, Black Panther, to add in some. It sounds stupid, but to add in some racial diversity into the Avengers. He's been a prominent member of the Avengers also in the cartoon series. And the comic books, lots of heroes in the Marvel Universe have been an Avenger at one point. Now Beast is one of a member. And I think they're doing it because they're saying, okay, in a movie, Beast can never be, at this point, can't be a member of the Avengers. But in a comic book, let's do what we can do there. And Wolverine was also a member to the new Avengers. I think he's one still. Spider-Man has been one, and he's never been a team of anything. Well, now he's a team. Spider-Man is now a member also of the Fantastic Four, or the Fantastic Four is now called the Future Foundation. And Spider-Man kind of replaced the Torch, because the Torch died. Yes, surprise. But at one point, the Thing died, and... Yeah, Fantastic Four continuity is just all over the place. They have like a 500 gazillion... They have 500 issues and a bunch of, you know, different storylines. And so they're like one of Marvel's oldest, definitely the oldest Silver Age Marvel group in the comic book. But whatever. That's the only news on Fantastic Four is that they're going to reboot it. I'm not looking forward to it. It's the guy from Chronicle, which could be a good sign. He's a big comic book fan too. He did the little movie Why Superman's Death and Return Ruined Comic Books. And I'm like, haha, this was funny, but you kind of come over as a hipster douchebag, so I'm like, maybe you're not the right guy to do Fantastic Four. Especially since you want to do it, if you're going to do it anything like Chronicle and want to make it like hip and popular, Fantastic Four shouldn't be hip and popular. Keep Fantastic Four... Honestly, Marvel should get the rights back and Marvel should do Fantastic Four, because I know Marvel Studios is going to do it right and we're going to have Fantastic Four in the expanded universe. Yay! That means when we have now we have Thanos, then we can have Silver Surfer. You know what? If there's a chance that Marvel gets back the rights, if they don't make that reboot, and I really hope they don't, then Silver Surfer should be the first movie that they do. Okay, before they ever make a Fantastic Four movie. Okay, because people know about Fantastic Four. There was two so-so movies. I thought they weren't the worst movies, but they definitely weren't the best. They could have been done better. It was kind of ruined for a lot of people, and there wasn't new fans made. It didn't really make any new fans, and old fans were alienated, and most people were thinking, this is a ripoff of The Incredibles, which is kind of stupid, because Incredibles is, at worst, a ripoff of The Fantastic Four. At best, it's a homage to The Fantastic Four. So, we need a better Fantastic Four movie. Well, you don't necessarily need one, but if there's gonna be one made, another one, then Marvel Studios should make it, you know. And it shouldn't be like, I really hope Fox loses interest and doesn't make one, and they stop the development, and then Marvel gets the rights, you know. Because obviously they're announcing that they have now a writer and a director, because they want to keep the rights, because... As long as they're developing one, I think, and as long as a movie comes out at a certain point in time, then they can keep the rights. But it's a stupid, stupid Hollywood bullshit. Fox has enough properties to make them a lot of money. Do they really need Fantastic Four still? You know, obviously they're going to keep X-Men. Gonna keep out churning X-Men movies until they cannot make any money off of that, and then Marvel will get it. And then I hope Marvel, if they ever make X-Men movies, then, you know, they will wait a little bit, a couple of years, you know, maybe even a long time, maybe even 10 years, but then they're gonna put in X-Men into the cinematic universe, because obviously the cinematic universe is here to stay. They have the backing of Disney now, so they can do huge budget movies. But they're doing it right, they're smart about it, they are saving money where they can, which is a good thing, because they want to make money. But the movies don't look cheap. Did Avengers look cheap? No, none of their movies look cheap. Because they made it work, you know, they made their budget work. It's that simple. Green Lantern had a huge budget, had 200 million they could work with. And how did it look like? It looked like shit. I'm sorry, as much as I wanted to like this movie, it's shit, okay? Okay, but, you know, I'm saying already stuff that has been said, so Marvel's looks good. DC just announced basically Man of Steel and some other movie that is some kind of alien invasion movie that they might be aliens from the deep or something. But I'm like, what? Didn't we have that already? Battleship. Right now I remember it's Pacific Rim. I got no clue. So alien invasion movies are popular now, but of course no lasers because lasers are lame or something. Another movie that they announced, so anyway, Pacific Rim, who cares about it? It could be good, could be bad. Usually it's going to be just, oh, look at the 3D effects. Ooh, and the CGI. And it's going to be pretty much, what is it, like Battle LA. It's going to be a pretty dumb and forgettable movie. And the only reason I remember Battle LA was because it was the first movie where they had these weird 4D effects where, like, at explosions, the movie seat moved, and it was really lame, actually. It's amazing in this time and age that you need these kind of bells and whistles to even get people into the movie theater, because it's an experience you cannot have in the TV, you know, and I'm like, whatever, you know. Anyway, that's Pacific Rim, who cares? They also announced The Hobbit, which looks good. I've seen the trailer, of course. Everybody's seen the teaser trailer. And they were still working on it when they made the teaser trailer because a lot of the CG effects weren't done yet, which looks like there's going to be some awesome CG effects because they're going to have Smaug the Dragon in it, which is going to be awesome, and the huge battles and everything. So most you've seen in the trailer was the some of the dwarves, some of the, you know, the hobbits, of course, and it does look really cool. But the good thing about the Hobbit, it's going to be very dwarf-centric, obviously, if you read the book, so. But there's going to be Gandalf, of course, and there's going to be a lot. And it will fit in really neatly with the other Lord of the Rings movies, so. Yeah, I'm not that interested in Pacific Rim again. Why am I mentioning this again? Oh, well. Other thing that was of interest, Movie Bob came out with this episode, his mailback episode, and I wrote him a question if why he didn't like, why he said that D&D wasn't of interest of him because of the math, and I told him there's games that are simpler, and if he would be interested in joining a game, or something like that was the question. And of course he didn't answer that question again, he only answered questions about video gaming in general, about specific questions, also about his show, whatever his rabbit is, the rabbit that is this Commissioner Bunny face, and I'm like, so this is the questions you answer from the thousands of questions that have been asked for you. And of course there was this thing where he was fighting another thinker dude, necro thinker or whatever, and I'm like, okay, I get it, you know, but there was also, he answered one question as like, when is there gonna be, again, Game Overthinking was just the Game Overthinking and not the storyline. And of course he said, whenever, you know, and he was kind of butthurt when he answered that, but whatever, that was kind of obvious. He's gonna do this whole show part of it, the whole storyline part, because he's obviously enjoying that. But on the other hand, I'm like, I'm kind of done with the storylines and whatever. And I'm not even a big fan of his show, to be honest. I said some negative things about him. Some of his ideas are interesting, but he's been basically reiterating the same thing over and over, that there has to be a Steam-style console market. That there has to be a console with a Steam-style way to buy games, and so the indie developers can sell their games. And I think that's a smart idea. And then he mentioned that there is a Kickstarter project, Ouya or something, that, yes, here I have it now, Ouya. And it has been funded. I asked for $950,000, and it was overfunded. They still have 24 days to go, and it's already almost 5,400,795,000. So I'm guessing it's going to go over 5 million. Either way, they have enough to fund the project. They have a prototype And it looks interesting, and it's basically going to be a console. But it's going to be a console kind of like on live as a console. I'm guessing it's going to be cloud gaming. I'm not quite sure. And it's going to have a lot of indie games. They say that it's going to have Minecraft, and obviously Notch doesn't mind to get more money to all his other money in there. So, yeah. He doesn't mind to get more money because he already made a version for Xbox 360, now making a version for another console. My question is the Ouya version going to be more like the PC Minecraft, where it's an actual infinite world where you go to the next area and it generates more world? Or is it going to be like the Xbox version where you have this world that is basically as big as this map and that's it? I'm not saying that the Xbox version will be like that forever, but I hope the Ouya version gets a more complete Minecraft. Also, a lot of other indie games are going to be available. The woman in the trailer has said, "We want to bring this game to the TV because I like the TV and it's kind of weird," but you see, because she's been also saying that developing games for consoles is kind of... It's very expensive, very hard, and it excludes indie developers very much. And unless you're talking Xbox Live Market and stuff. And I do agree, making games for PC, and that is much easier. So, yeah. So, I hope Ouya does work out, and that it becomes a cool console, and I hope to see different games on there, also indie games. But what I also want to see on Ouya is... that there's also developers and also retro games released. I don't know if it's going to be like... Is it going to be like on live? I'm not quite sure. I haven't read the whole thing. But it does look like it's going to be on live. Because I think CD-based gaming is kind of... The cheapest way to do it is with... have it like Steam. Have it like downloadable games. Is it going to be cloud gaming? I'm not sure. Is it going to be that you can download it? It's going to be kind of like smartphones or tablets, so you can then download the games, and it's going to be very open source, so I hope it's going to be then DRM-free gaming, that the games you can get are DRM-free. They also mentioned that a lot of the games should be free to play. I think that's a great idea, because that will have people buy that console more, because if they think, oh, I can buy a console and I have free to play games on my TV... And that will support a lot of these games more. Also, or have a game with free-to-play parts that you can play it for a certain time, or you can play certain levels for free. But then, you know, microtransactions and so on. And, I have again these football players in the background. It's kind of annoying me, but... anyway. It's, I love that idea. And I would say I could imagine buying that. If it's kind of like on live, it's only like $99. But the thing is with on live, it's $99 and then you have to pay or rent a game. And that's kind of stupid. And it's cloud gaming, so you never really own the game. You own the right to play the game. And I hope it's going to be the game that the games are downloadable, that you actually physically own them. So if Ouya goes bankrupt, that you could still, you know... And it becomes a collector's item for something, but you can still have games that you can play. And also, if there's not... I'm not saying that there's some way to download games on, like, a smart drive and that you can transfer them on there, you know. Game Over, I think, has said something about, you know, he's, like, a big fan of cartridge gaming. And he said that the cartridges should be kind of like the jump drives. And I'm, like, saying, maybe... Because there are some people that really need to own the game in a physical form. I'm not quite sure. I want to see how this works out, this Ouya. And I want to see what the pricing is going to be. I hope it's going to be around like $100 or something. And not, and maybe even less. I hope it's not going to be more. I would say maybe at most $200. But yeah, Ouya looks cool. It could be good. Other than that, yeah, Game Over Thinker still sucks. This whole storyline business sucks, and also his whole opinion, and also that he again only talks really about console gaming. The only thing he mentions about PC gaming is about Steam, because nobody can ignore Steam anymore, and that how console gaming should be more than Steam. So, and my point is that right now PC gaming looks really good. If console gaming are supposed to be like Steam, you know, and yeah, sure, that would be great. And cross-platform gaming, yeah, I do agree with that. So there's a lot of things I do agree with him, but I just don't like his opinions, and I don't like his overall how he presents the show, and how he talks about it, and what's his opinions on different things. But whatever, that's what I have to talk about for now. And let me see here, I'm getting close to 60 minutes, so I could still bullshit around or something, or I could just put in a song. I think I'll just put in a song. It's going to be around 60 minutes. Anyway, guys, this was Beastcast number 17, I believe. I hope you liked it, and this show is a little bit late, I'm sorry guys, but next week it's going to be on time again, so, and look forward for more Gaming Beast material. I'm working on Virtual Warriors 3, I'm working on an extra review, I'm going to throw out a Let's Play, because there hasn't been Let's Play in for a while, and I hope you're going to enjoy it, and, you know, support the Beastcast, join my Facebook, follow me on Twitter, subscribe to my channel, go to my forums, leave a message, whatever, you know, leave a message everywhere, you know, whatever. If you don't like it, then say you don't like it, you know, and that's cool. Okay, and this was the Beastcast, and I hope you have a good next week, and, you know, next Thursday, another Beastcast, and, you know, support me and support the other guys, us on Mondo Coolcast, support Tiger Claw Radio, support Jerry Terrifying, Retro Kaiser, Shintai, Sendu, all of them, you know. Also, you know, support them all. Anyway, talk to you later, guys, and may the Death Mug of Doom be with you.